Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
Well, as we have moved into the third chapter of Paul's epistle to the Galatians, and the beginning of that section that is generally considered to be the doctrinal section, we get into the doctrinal issues for which Paul wrote this epistle. And it is namely a defection of the Galatian believers from the gospel of God's grace, or at least an impending defection, an appearance that they are about to defect. Paul puts it this way in verse 1 of chapter 3. O foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. Now, before we go on to his appeal to personal experience in verses 2 through 5, I've got to focus just a little bit more upon this means of preaching, which was the way that Christ was set before them. Paul says clearly that Christ Jesus was clearly portrayed among you as crucified, and he says, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. And yet he's not talking about a visual medium. He's not talking about pictures or paintings. He's not talking about drama. He's not even talking about the written page that they could see with their eyes. He's talking about what they saw with the eyes of their soul, what they saw by faith as Jesus Christ was preached to them. And that is a reminder that the gospel needs to be thoroughly and passionately proclaimed. It is a reminder that the preacher has a very important role in the work of the gospel and in the salvation of souls. It is also true, and we must never forget, that the Holy Spirit must fasten the truth upon the souls of men and women if it's going to have any lasting impact, if it is not going to be snatched away by Satan, the birds of the air. But nevertheless, the preacher has a very important role. And that's why preachers must learn to preach as if everything depends upon us, though recognizing that it doesn't. But that doesn't produce carelessness. That doesn't produce indifference. It ought not to. The preacher should be careful and thorough and passionate in his proclamation of the Word of God. And in this case, his proclamation of the gospel of Jesus Christ and Christ crucified for the sins of mankind. Preachers have an indispensable role. Preachers have a critical role, and we need to understand that we are going to stand before God someday and give an account. Preaching is not entertainment. Preaching is not casual conversation. Preaching is passionate proclamation. And there is a difference. May God help us to understand that difference. But now Paul appeals to personal experience. And there are six questions in this section, verses 1 through 5. And I'm going to continue reading at verse 2. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Now, you can't see the question marks as I can see them before my Bible as I read, but they are all throughout this passage. There are six questions, the first one in verse 1, and then five in verses 2 through 5, one of which is a repeat. And they are designed to make the Galatians examine and reject their present error. This is an appeal to experience. There will be an appeal to Scripture later on, which is more weighty than experience, but Paul now is appealing to their experience and asking them to argue, or rather to examine, the basis of their Christian experience. You know that something life-changing happened to you, but I want you to think about why that happened, how that happened. How did you begin your Christian life? Verse 2. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Question mark. The first question, which is a basic one, and really the others are more or less an extension of this one. In some ways, all the other questions are reduced to this one. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? How did the Holy Spirit come to do His work within your soul? Who arrested you? Who caused you to listen to the gospel as I proclaimed it in your communities? Who caused you to believe the gospel when so many of your friends and neighbors did not believe it, do not believe it, still do not believe it, consider it to be foolishness? But you heard it, and you were stricken by it. You were compelled to grasp hold of Christ. You were brought to repentance for your sins. You were brought to faith in Christ. You were brought to rejoice in the work of Christ. You came to experience peace in your soul and assurance that you are right with your Creator. You are right with Almighty God. Now, how did that happen? Was that by the works of the law? Or by the operation of the Holy Spirit who produced in your souls faith in the proclamation of the gospel, which is justification by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Now, how did this come about in your life? Was it by hearing the message of the law and saying, oh, I've got to keep that law. I've got to work harder at becoming a good person. I've got to try very hard to be zealous in my keeping of the law. Is that the way this great change, this great transformation, this great peace, this great joy, this great assurance of sins forgiven and a standing with God in heaven, is this the way that all of this came about in your life? By the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? That's the question. How did you begin the Christian life? The second question in verse 3 is, how do you think you will be able to continue the Christian life, having once begun this way? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Why do you believe that you will continue your Christian life in a different manner than you began, having been made perfect, or having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh? Now this, I think, this phrase, made perfect, is an insight into the message of the false teachers. And they were teaching something like this. You begin salvation, you begin Christianity by faith in Christ, but you reach new levels by following the Mosaic law. They were mixing works and grace. You're saved by faith in Christ, but you progress but you mature, but you develop, but you become a very effective Christian by the works of the law. How can you think that? Said Paul. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? It was by the work of the Holy Spirit that you were brought to forgiveness of your sins, brought to recognize your sonship as an adopted son of God. You came to liberty and to joy and experienced answered prayer and so forth. All of that happened in the realm of the Spirit by the work of the Holy Spirit and by the exercise of faith. Now, having begun in the Spirit, do you think you'll now be made perfect by the flesh, by externals, by ceremonies, by rituals, by turning back to the way of doubt and fear and bondage, which is the only thing you can have in the flesh? The flesh brings no peace. The flesh brings no assurance. The flesh brings no joy. Flesh and works of the law are basically synonymous here. By the efforts of the flesh to keep the law, there is no peace, there is no joy, there is no assurance. How do these things come about? Peace and joy and assurance. Not by the flesh, not by the works of the law, but by faith, and faith alone, in the finished work of Jesus Christ, coming to believe that, coming to accept that, coming to receive that, coming to rely upon that as your only hope of salvation and your only hope of being made perfect before God. How foolish are you, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now made perfect by the flesh? Do you think you will now reach a level of maturity and full development and perfection by the works of the flesh? How foolish can you be? How can you make progress in a way that could not save you to begin with? No, you must continue as you began. And how is that? By faith. By believing what you hear. By believing God's word. Not resorting to circumcision, Mosaic diets, observing certain feast days, and so forth. It's salvation from start to finish, salvation from beginning to end. Jesus Christ is both the author and the finisher of our faith. And it is by faith in Christ that you will achieve these things. And if you don't understand that, then we've got to go back to the basics. You are being so foolish. Someone is deceiving you. Someone is jerking your chain. Someone is causing you to believe that which is not true. Having begun in the Spirit, are you now made perfect by the flesh? Of course not. Of course not. Don't be so foolish. Wake up. Think about what you're doing and come to your senses and realize that God's salvation, which is the only true salvation, is by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, from beginning to end. Until next week, this is Greg Barkman, Bible teacher on the Beacon broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina 27201, saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.